my God, you guys. Hello. Hello, hello, hello. It's me. It's Olivia. I'm back for another week. This is Olivia's Obscura for those of you who just didn't look at what you were clicking on and you're like, who is this? It's me. I'm Olivia. And I'm here to host this freaking damn ass show. Okay? Good to talk. Good to chit chat. I'm actually recording on a Friday night tonight, which feels good, actually, because I have gotten in the habit the past couple months of recording on Saturday night or Sunday night. And I like to have the episode out on Monday, obviously. Oh my God, Adam is absolutely zooming around the house right now, so I'm sorry if you can hear him. But then I was like cramped. Like last week was like finally the last straw. I got up on Monday morning before I went to work to finish editing what I had recorded on Saturday. And me and Montana recorded like 2.5 hours of audio, and a lot of it was not usable. So it was a rather large editing project. And Ty was like, why don't you record like literally any other day other than Saturday or Sunday? And I was like, that's a really good point. The problem is that like my episode goes out on Monday, and then I feel like I'm just like swimming in that, like the current week's episode sauce all week. And so like, I'm not really ready to like record or like have any like new thoughts or revelations to share. Like I guess what I could do is record, because then I got thinking, well, do I want to record a week ahead? So like, let's say I got on a schedule of like, I'm recording this now, but like it goes out a week from Monday, like that kind of thing. And I like kind of always have one in the, what's the word? Like kind of always have one episode like locked in and ready to go. But I don't know, like some things are time sensitive, okay? And I need to talk about them when I need to talk about them. Like the week of, like sometimes I feel like, especially current events are like, whatever, like I have to talk about them that week or else nobody gives the fuck by the time the next week comes around. And the other thing is that sometimes what I think is a good episode I put out, like, and I stand by every episode that I have put out. I do. I really do. It's a passion project. Okay. And I'm passionate about all of those, but I wouldn't necessarily like sometimes even a week after, like I'm a girl who's evolving, I'm changing, I'm growing. Every day is different than the previous. So like, I don't know, if I record something today, like I can't guarantee that by the time next Monday, like 10 days from now comes around, I would even like still want to put that out. I don't know, like this to me feels like very of the, like everything I do here is very of the moment and like very time sensitive, but not in the way, like, because I would hope that like people could go back and listen to my back catalog and it's like relevant to them. It's not like time sensitive in the fact that I'm like discussing time sensitive events, like current events that like are really urgent to talk about. It's more just like it's relevant to me. And like, I don't know if like what I say today is going to be relevant to me next week, you know, like I don't know if I'd be like, oh, that's an accurate representation of who I am now a week later. You know, I don't know. Maybe no one can relate to that. I can, whatever. What's new this week? Lots, you guys, music is so back. Last night, Chapel Rowan dropped a new song, Good Luck, Babe. Absolute banger, banger alert, okay? I don't know what to even say at this point. If you are not absolutely swimming in the Chapel Rowan soup right now, I kind of don't really get what you're doing. Like, I mean it when I say it, like, there's no one kind of like doing pop music like her right now. Like, she's got everything. Her performances are amazing. Her, like, everything she has going on right now is just amazing and incredible. And I am so glad that I get to be here to kind of watch her blow up, because she's a freaking star. But yeah, Good Luck, Babe, a song that I love. One sec. Vampire Weekend also dropped a new album last night, I think, and I haven't listened to it all the way through. I've listened to the singles they released and like the first couple tracks, but I'm getting to that this weekend. I'm really excited to kind of like put my headphones in, go for a walk, like listen to it top to bottom. What I did listen to today is Older, the new Lizzie McAlpine record. I actually think, is this her first? No, this is her second album, right? I don't know how big her discography is, but I listened to the new album that came out last night. There's something in the water this week. There's a lot of good shit coming out. And I was blown away by Older. I just kind of like had some projects I needed to work on this afternoon. So I put the AirPods in, noise cancellation, obviously. And I played the album beginning to end. And it was, I kind of had no expectations at first. I kind of maybe thought it was going to be, like, I was worried I was going to be bored by it because it is, I tend to gravitate towards some more upbeat kind of music. And right off the bat, the first song was like really slow and really sleepy. And I was like, oh, I don't know, but I'm going to give it a shot. And I'm so glad that I stayed in, because by the end of that first track, I was all in. Like, one thing that I think that Lizzie McAlpine does really well in like some of her other songs is like this big kind of swell at the beginning or the end of her songs. And I love a swelling song. Like, I don't know, like, you know, like the end of like Scott Street, like I think of, or I don't know, like I'm blanking on every song I've ever listened to before, obviously, as tends to happen when you're trying to recall things. But the first track on Older, which is called Elevator, has this incredible swell at the end. And by the time you have gone through the experience of listening to that first song, the rest of the album plays out just like a movie. And that I have found kind of as my music taste has like changed and evolved and kind of stayed the same. Like for the past like 4 years or so, like my music taste has really kind of maintained. And I just kind of like, I like what I like. I don't really, I think I've actually maybe mentioned this on this podcast before, but I don't really value like finding new music. Like the way that some people really look forward to like Friday, what is it? New Music Fridays on Spotify. I have actually never once listened to a New Music Friday. Or people like Ty is just someone who loves discovering new artists and he like finds a lot of joy in that. But I like wish that I could, like I sometimes go through phases where I'm like, I'm gonna be in like a music era right now. Like I'm gonna find music that I really like. But oftentimes I either return to artists that I used to listen to their old stuff and I haven't listened to some of their newer stuff. And so I'm kind of coming back to them, or it's just music that I have loved for years. And I just can't, I don't know, like I can't step out of that rut. Like there's something about music specifically that like I'm drawn towards it in a way of like comfort. And maybe that's not even the right word, but like when I want to put on music, like I know exactly what I want. Like when I want to listen to music, I know exactly what I want to put on. Like when I say I want to listen to this album or I want to put on this record right now, like it is, it's not just like, oh, I feel like putting on music. Like, let me just hit shuffle on like a random daily mix on Spotify. Like, I don't want to do that. I don't like that. I almost exclusively listen to albums top to bottom or shuffled, like depending on the album, or like artist discography or artist radio. Like, I don't know why. Like, it is just something that I don't necessarily like that about myself, that I'm like so caught in my ways. But it's not like I won't discover new artists. Like, obviously, like, I will get in, like, Chapel Rowan. Like, I'm obsessed with her. And I, like, wasn't that obsessed with her, like, at the beginning of last year. You know what I mean? So, like, she broke through. And there are artists that, like, will absolutely break through and I will become a fan of. But I don't, like, I don't really listen to music the way that some of y'all are listening to music, regrettably, okay? But what I, let me land this plane here, because I was talking about the Lizzie McAlpine album. Something that I know that I value in music and kind of always have, even though my music taste has kind of changed and what I like has evolved throughout the years, I am someone who has always loved a cinematic music listening experience. I like it to feel like I like the storytelling really has to be there for me. Like I really value the like cinematic quality and like a story. Like I really just value that storytelling in music. I don't really know how else to put it. But like the older, Lizzie McAlpine's older, I only listened to it once and I'm going to have to do a re-listen because I'm already kind of like craving listening to it again because it was such a solid sonic experience. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't an album that I would put on to listen passively, like in the car or, you know, like I want to sit down and listen to this album like I would sit down and watch a movie. And it was this kind of, I mean, how do I even start? The beginning of the album, and I'm going to kind of give my take on the album because I think it's spectacular and I was blown away by it. And I don't know, like, I don't know what about it, like, hit me in the right spot. And I don't know, I actually haven't looked at anyone else. Like, I don't know how this is being received, like, critically or even with other people. I actually, like, haven't even seen any people talk about it on, like, TikTok or Twitter or anything yet. So this is, like, really just my opinion and it hasn't been tainted by anyone else's opinion yet. And so, like, maybe, I don't know, like, maybe after a couple more listens, like, my feelings will settle a little bit. But, like, right now I'm really excited about this album and I haven't been excited, I guess in general, there's a lot of new music out and like coming that I'm excited about. And like, I haven't been excited about music like this since probably like the summer of 2015. Like really, like I haven't been this stoked about new music in a really long time. And so I'm really happy that I'm kind of back in the sauce now. But this older album starts off like the beginning 2 to 3 tracks, I would say, like kind of have this feeling of like young, desperate love. Like when you're kind of like listening to it really like kind of punched me in the gut and took me back to when I was like 18, 19, like if something about it felt so desperate, like when you are just like holding on for dear life, like white knuckling something, a relationship, and like, well, I hope you never leave me. Like, I hope you, can we just stay here forever? Like, I can't believe that you chose me out of everyone. You chose me. And, like you kind of feel that desperation and that longing in those first 3 songs. Like I honestly, you should go listen to the album and then come back and listen to this, or you can just listen to my take and then go listen. I don't care. Also, I don't know if this is like actually correct. Like, I don't know if this is like the capital I interpretation of this album. Like, this is literally what I got from it after 1 listen through. Okay. So I might be mistaken, but this is just how I interpreted it. So you're kind of at this beginning of a relationship where like everything is new and you're feeling so valued by this person. Like in one of the songs, she was like, I'm famous to you. Like if no one else likes me, like I'm famous to you. Like he loves me. And he chose me out of everyone he chose me. And that to me was something that I experienced a lot. Like when I first started dating, that like there is something that feels so juvenile about that. And like, I love that. That's not where I'm at right now. Like I have a much more secure vibe about me now and my current relationship, like in my life in general, but it like just sent me back in time and it was the exact feelings that I've experienced before in the past. And like, I love when music can do that, when an artist like is able to capture a feeling so like something that I wouldn't even like put words to, but a true artist like puts words to that, you know, and like that's what an artist is. And as the album kind of goes on, there's this really excellent transition. There's these 2 songs. I think it's Drunk Running, and then Broken Glass. Drunk Running transitions into Broken Glass. And they're these really beautiful. Like I actually went back and listened to like Drunk Running and Broken Glass again, like as a duo, because I think they go together so beautifully. And like, it's this really, we get to the place like in the story of this relationship that she's kind of telling me about, or as I'm perceiving it, like it kind of gets to the point where she discovers that this person is an addict or has a drinking problem, and how it's taking an immense toll on her in the relationship. And how this thing that she kind of once pined after and like put on a pedestal has been revealed to her, like what it actually is. And what it is like a really severely unhealthy relationship. And like, it is, I don't know, like because I can't relate to that. You know what I mean? Like, I've never loved an addict. I've never been around anyone in my family, in my dating life, what have you, who's, you know, had a drinking problem. Thank God. Like, I'm so glad I've never had to deal with that. But I guess, okay, this is a slight tangent, but I always hate it when people don't like music, and the reason they give for not liking an album or an artist or a song or whatever is that they can't relate to it. Like, that to me is such a cop-out excuse. Like, what do you mean you can't relate to it? Like, you don't need to relate to it. Like, that's not the point. Like, do you relate to every main character in every movie you've ever watched? Like, I mean, maybe, I don't know, but like, I never understand like why people completely write off certain artists or genres or whatever because they feel like it, they can't relate to it. Like, I loved this Lizzie McAlpine album, even though I've never been in an abusive relationship with an addict or an alcoholic. But like, when she, in those songs, and I was listening to them, like, I was there. I was in that. And the feeling was so clear to me, even though it's something I've never experienced. Like, I love Chapel Rowan songs, and she has a ton of queer themes in her songs. And I'm someone who's only ever been with men. Like, I'm not a lesbian, but I love and like feel seen by Chapel Rowan's songs, even though I'm maybe not the audience she had in mind when she was writing it, or I don't share the same kind of traits that she does. I have been really back in an Orville Peck thing right now. Like, I just got tickets to his show in October. I'm so fucking excited. Me and Ty are going. And he's releasing this, like the Stampede, like duets album. Like, I am just like so excited. I think he's just like doing really cool stuff. I think since he's kind of been on like around in the scene, like he's just been doing really cool stuff with country music. And I don't even really like country music, but I love Orville Peck and I love his music. And that's a gay man. I'm not a gay man. Like, I can't relate to his music, but it's incredible storytelling, incredible music. Like, why, like, how disappointing it would be for me to write all of his body of work off because like I can't relate to it. Because I'm not a gay cowboy. Fuck you. I love it. Anyway, that's kind of like the climax of the album is like, I guess not even the climax, but like we get to that point where she, it's kind of the walls crumble, you know, she realizes that this person is an addict, is dealing with their struggles, whatever. She's not in a good relationship. They're not good for each other. The end of the album kind of rounds out with like this like melancholically hopeful song. I think the last track is called Vortex. Like the last couple songs are really good, but it like leaves you on this note. Like I left after I finished the album, I felt almost abandoned. And I don't know, like, do you ever listen to an album that makes you feel so strongly for whatever reason that when it's over, you feel like you feel abandoned, like you feel like you wish there was more, like you wish you could ask the artist questions and you wish you knew like everything about it, like the lore behind it. Like that's how I felt, and I haven't felt that about an album, like honestly, like probably since Evermore. And Evermore is one of my favorite albums of all time. Like, I think that is Taylor Swift's greatest work, so far. And I just think that it came to me at the exact right time in life. And that's how I felt listening to that album for the first time. And I haven't like had such a strong reaction to listening to an album start to finish like I did listening to Older in a really long time. And I've been talking about this album for like way too long at this point, but I just needed to like get that off my chest, off my desk. And I can't wait to listen to it again. I think that I always like a movie better the second time I watch it. The first time I watch a movie, like, yes, like sometimes you watch a movie so good that you're like, oh my God, like I wish I could just go back and experience watching that movie again for the first time. But more like the enjoyment I get from watching a movie the second time outweighs like the experience of watching it the first time. Like, I feel like I just pick up on so many more things. I'm able to like think critically about it and like extrapolate a little bit more when I'm already familiar with the plot. You know, like the first time you watch a movie, you're trying to just figure out what's going on and you can't really like listen for the subtext or like look for like little things that maybe would slip by you when you're just like trying to like focus on what's happening. And I kind of feel that about an album too. Like whenever I watch a movie for the second time or listen to an album for the second time or whatever, like I always feel like I enjoy it more because I know what it's going to be and it's not so, I don't know, like instead of putting my mental energy into figuring out kind of like, what is this? Like, do I like this? Like, what does this sound like? It's totally unfamiliar. The second time I listen, I can pick up on stuff that I didn't before and I can listen to the lyrics more in depth and I can just kind of like put pieces together that I couldn't the first time. So yeah, anyway, go listen to Older by Lizzie McAlpine, I guess, whatever. Like, fuck you if you don't want to, I guess, whatever. Like, I'm not going to put you in jail, you know? I'm just saying that I thought it was really good. I do feel like we're in kind of like a country renaissance right now. Like, I love the Cowboy Carter, the new Beyonce album. Like, I love it. And I, yeah, like, that is just proof that, like, a good story is a good story. Like, good music is good music. Like, because I've never listened to Beyonce really outside of like her like singles and Lemonade. Like I have obviously watched Lemonade, listened to Lemonade, whatever. But she's not like someone that I go back to frequently. And I don't know, like there's just, she makes excellent, excellent music. And it's just not something that I turn to often. But I think that Cowboy Carter is going to be, like I have listened to Bodyguard probably like 25 times this week so far. What's the other one that I love? The one with Miley Cyrus. What is that one called? Two Most Wanted. Oh my God. Two Most Wanted. I have no words. I have no words. That is just an excellent song. That's a great album. Like some songs I like better than others, but as a whole, like, I've been rocking with Cowboy Carter lately. Lana is releasing a country album, which I actually don't know if this was true or if this was, like, fake. Like, if this was, like, a fake. You know those Twitter accounts that are, like, pop bass or whatever? Like, I don't know if it was, like, a parody account of one of those or if it was real. But according to one tweet that I saw, Lana Del Rey released this photo shoot in anticipation for her new album called Lasso, I believe, which is going to be a country album. I can't wait. But in the pictures, allegedly, she was kissing her sister, like as album promo. And I was kind of like, oh, like that's not really what we wanted. You know, like I don't really know what she was going for there. I don't really condone kissing sisters. I don't really, yeah, that's like not something that I'm like really into. Like, call me crazy, but I don't think you should kiss your sister. Kind of make out with your sister, like something about that just isn't really sitting with me. But other than that, like, I am really excited to listen to the album. Like, I don't know, like, I kind of got into Lana Del Rey last year. Like, I was never really into her when she was having her like Born to Die moment, like Tumblr girl moment. Like, she just wasn't my thing back then, but I'm like a born again Lana Del Rey listener. I like her stuff now. And so I'm excited because I love it when a non-country artist goes country. Like, that is something that I do in my bones just fucking love. And I love this like new generation of country artists, like the cool like women and like queer country artists. Like, I'm so, so into it. I've talked ad nauseum to the people, to myself and to the people in my life about my absolute need for Harry Styles to do like a country concept album. Like, I would just fucking love that. I just think he has the voice for it. Like, I think he has the musicality for it. Like, I don't know. I think what maybe got me into that thinking was, well, he did the Girl Crush cover for the Spotify Sessions, which is a song that I go back to time and time again. I love the Harry Styles cover of Girl Crush by, I think it's Little Big Town does that song. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. I don't know who actually sings that song for real. It's like a country pop artist, though, like a country crossover artist. He slayed that. The other song is Two Ghosts from his first album, I believe. I think that was on his first self-titled album. But Two Ghosts at the very beginning sounds just like the lead-in to You and I by Lady Gaga. Here, I actually need to have you listen to this. Okay, this is Harry Styles' Two Ghosts. Okay, now this is You and I by Lady Gaga. Oh my God, that is such a good song. You and I is such a good song. Like, that is probably one of my favorite songs ever of all time. But you get my drift, right? Like, been a long time since I came around, compared to same blue, same miles blue, you know, whatever the hell he said. Like, it's kind of giving similar vibes. And You and I, Say What You Will, is a country song. I don't know, just saying, like, in my opinion, that's a country song. And do I wish Lady Gaga would also release an entire country album? 100%. Yes, I do. I will be first in line to listen when she decides to do that. Okay, Lady Gaga, let me know. Call me up when you decide to do that. But I don't know. I think that my association between those two songs, like, really just made me start thinking about the possibility of Harry Styles doing country. And I got so excited. Like, I want Harry Styles to do, like, I just want him to do country. I don't know. Like, if anyone has a direct line to him, would you please put in a word and say that I would love to hear a country moment from him. I also think the way that he, like, stylizes, like, he has such a, like, distinct style for, like, every one of his, like, eras or whatever. Like, he's only released 3 albums so far, so it's not like that much. And also, like, men aren't expected to reinvent as much as women, but I can't get into that right now. Like, of course a woman needs an entirely different look and era and costuming and whatever, styling, hair, did I already say that, everything for a new album. Men can do the bare minimum and still sell the album, but women are like, why didn't you completely reinvent yourself to promote this art that you made? Men just aren't held to that standard. But I do feel like there is a distinct vibe to each one of Harry Styles's albums and tours that he's been on. And I feel like he could, like, stylize a country era really fun, because I love, I love the way aesthetics, I love when artists play with aesthetics as a, what am I trying to say? I really like it when artists tie in like style and aesthetics like as part of the album, as part of the art itself. Like I like it when they make a when they have like a cohesive moment. Like I just think it's really fun, and like I think that's what excites me about Chapel Rowan a lot too, is that she's like very costume heavy, and like she themes her shows, and she like has all these fun outfits, and her styling feels very intentional with the work that she's putting out. And like, I don't know, I just think there was be a really cool opportunity for Harry Styles to do something like that with country. Anyway, that's all I'm going to say about this. We are 30 minutes into this episode, and all I have done so far is yap about the music that I've listened to, so I'm going to put you out of your misery. I put on my Instagram story, the podcast Instagram story, if you're not following, it's Obscura Pod on Instagram. We have fun over there. I post like... I'm going to start posting on the grid more, like visuals to go with each episode. I don't know. I just feel like I need to be on my like grid grind a little bit more over there, but we do have fun on the stories. And I do polls, and I put up a poll a couple days ago that asked what should the episode be on Monday. And my three options were talking about a new Lifetime movie that I watched and am obsessed with called My Husband's Worst Mistake. The other choice was going through my notes app. And the last choice was petty local drama on nextdoor.com, because I am on nextdoor.com for the worst. That is not something that I'm proud of. I don't like being a Nextdoor head, but someone's got to do it, you know? And there's tea on there. There's juice, there's drama, there's tea on Nextdoor. But the option that won out overwhelmingly was going through my notes app. So that is what I am here to do today. So buckle up, and I'm going to expose all of the notes that I have on my iPhone from I don't know how far back they go. And actually, no, that's a lie. I won't be exposing all of them. That would be ridiculous. And half of them are like lists of things that I need to get from Walgreens. So I will, you know, I'm going to go through the greatest hits. I feel like you're going to learn a lot about me listening to my notes, because I kind of want to, the way I treat my notes app is that when I have like a fleeting thought or a fleeting idea, I will just go into my notes app and I will write it down. No explanation, like no context. That's enough for me to be like, in the future when I come back to this, like I will know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't need to explain it. So I'm really excited to like read some of the notes that I have and kind of like explain the thought process behind it, or like explain a more fleshed out version of the idea, because we have, I mean, I know that there's good stuff in here. I know that there is. And a lot of it is podcast episodes or TikTok video ideas. So you might, if you follow me on TikTok or if you are a returning weekly listener, you might hear something from the notes app pop up in a future episode or in a video on my TikTok. So I don't know. I guess you can say you heard it here first. Okay, I had to take a break to pee, but I am back. And without further ado, let us dip into the notes app. I'm going to start with the most recent and work my way backwards. And I actually don't know how extensive this really is, but I guess we'll see how far we go. And there's always an option for a part two, okay? And three and four, however long it takes for me to get through these notes, okay? From yesterday at 10:45 p.m., the epidemic of weed-themed food establishments. And this is something that I actually need to talk about because obviously I need to talk about it. I wrote it down. I don't know if this is like a Southern California thing specifically, like a general California or West Coast thing. I would imagine in states where like weed is not legal and normalized, this isn't a thing. But let me know if you're in another region of the country and this exists. But I think it's like, it's becoming chuggy. It's like the millennialification of like weed. You know what I mean? Like there's something about it that like, I get what they're doing, but it's like, to me, it's like a failed attempt at being edgy. And like, maybe that's like, maybe I'm reading it wrong. You know, like maybe that's not their thing, but I feel like it's so like, oh, like weed, like we smoke weed. Like, do you want to come get some food after you smoked weed? Like, it's just so cheap to me, and it's so corny. And there's three that I can think of that are in San Diego near where I live. The first one is going to be called Cookie Plug. Okay, this showed up in a strip mall near my apartment last summer. Cookie Plug, they are a franchise as far as I can tell. I actually have been wanting to go on a deep dive of their whole company because something about it feels really sinister to me. And I think I'm just picking up on something that I'm making up. But like their Instagram, when I looked at it, like when I looked at their Instagram when they opened, like their entire Instagram was full of just like girls with like BBLs, like giant butts, giant boobs, like giant lips, like giant fake women. And like that, I'm not saying that that is like, you can do whatever you want with your body. Okay. I don't think people should feel pressured to do body augmentations, but whatever. Like, I'm not trying to say that like, oh, it's disgusting because there was women with like body modifications, like plastic surgery on their Instagram. It almost felt like it was like a catalog vibes. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like a cat, like it was giving like sex trafficking. I don't know. It just seemed like they were exploiting these women on their Instagram. Even though they were like, even though they're like selling cookies, like everything about it just felt like to be at odds with each other. And I just feel like there might be something shady going on, but I can't like quite put my finger on it. Also, in their, this is like so niche. If you have never been into this establishment, you're not going to give a fuck about what I'm saying. But basically it's a cookie. I didn't even explain what it was. It's kind of like crumble cookies, but the cookies are like named after strains of weed. And everything about it is like weed themed. So like you can buy these like containers for your cookies that look like giant weed grinders. You can like the cook, I need to go on the website right now so I can like read off the names of the cookies. Okay. Give me one sec. Okay, I'm on the Cookie Plug website right now. They seem to have locations in Arizona, Oregon, California, Michigan, a few other states, kind of like around the country. And it is a franchise. And so I know, like, I don't know the ins and outs of franchising, but so I don't know if like my issues with, here's what I'll say. There were some questions. I went in there last time to check it out, obviously, because I'm a fan of like a crumble cookie, you know, and this is kind of the same thing. They're like these big, soft cookies. Like, I think they advertise them as like between a cake and a cookie. And I thought that sounded kind of good. You know, like they looked good. I wanted to try them. But the location, the location near me when I walked in and I was completely unfamiliar with Cookie Plugs, had all of this like weird, alt-right, right-wing, like conspiracy theorist, like messaging in there, and that like I obviously didn't like that. And so I was like, okay, well, I'm like kind of not gonna go back now because I don't want to support this. And like, I don't know if that is, I don't know how much freedom the franchise owners are allowed to have, you know what I mean? So I don't know if that's like coming from top down, like if that's the company as a whole, or if like the person who opened this specific location holds those values. But there was all these stickers, like it's kind of like graffiti themed in there. Like all of the Cookie Plugs, to my knowledge, are kind of like graffiti, like urban vibes. Like it looks like, I don't know, like just go on the website, okay? And you will know exactly what I'm talking about. But it's like paint splatters and like graffiti lettering. And like they're like obviously trying to be like edgy and cool. But yeah, like the cookie names are Snooperdoodle, Purple Haze, Pixie Junkie, Nutty OG, like I don't even know, like Crunch Nug, Chalks XTX, like I don't know. I'm assuming, I'm not obviously familiar, I don't have an encyclopedic knowledge of weed strains, but like I know like Purple Haze and like Snooperdoodle, like those are obviously like weed references. So I don't know, I just think it's corny. The other establishment that is weed themed that me and Ty recently went to, we were trying a new coffee shop because I was driving him to work one day, and it's called Spill the Beans. This is also, I believe, maybe a local chain, maybe it's a regional chain, I don't know. But it is like a coffee and bagel place, and what I will say is they made a fucking excellent bagel. Like they had the most wild bagel selection I had ever seen. They had a hash brown bagel, like I had one of the most delicious sun-dried tomato bagels I've ever had there. So like I actually can't talk shit about the quality of the product. Like it is really good. My coffee was good. My bagel was good. But again, like, again with the weed themed, like, I have to go on this website too. Everything in there was like weed puns and like, I don't know, like there's something about it that is so cheesy to me. It's just like when in like 10 years, we're going to look back at like weed themed restaurants the way that we cringe about stuff that we did in like 2014 now. You know, like there's no way we're getting out of this unscathed. Spill the beans. Let me get on the website here. Their menu, their bagel menu, like they have their like signature sandwiches, right? They have like five sandwiches that are like all like predetermined what goes on them. But there's a whole section of the menu for like building your own bagel. And it is titled Roll Your Own, $4.20. Like it's just a little bit too on the nose. Like, and the marketing is cute. Like the menu, like what I do love is that their mascot critter is a coffee pot wearing checkered Vans. It's like this cute little cartoon. Like whoever did their illustrations like did kind of kill it. I hate to say it. It's this little coffee pot wearing checkered Vans, sticking his tongue out. He's carrying a little cup of coffee. And on his head, like on the top of the coffee pot, it says pothead. And like that is something that I really like. If that was a sticker, like I'd buy it. You know, like I do love that. I think that's funny. Like why do we need to be like, why is a, like what do bagels have to do with like joints or blunts? You know, like why is like a build your own bagel labeled as a roll your own? Like it would even make more sense if it was like a burrito or a taquito or anything that you like roll, but you don't roll a bagel. I feel like it's like a little bit forced. You know what I mean? The last place that I want to use as an example for weed-themed food establishments is Chiba Hut, I believe Ty told me about. Chiba Hut, toasted subs. It's a sandwich restaurant in San Diego. This, I do believe, is a chain as well, a small chain, a local chain, perhaps. There's one by SDSU. So they're obviously, like, you know, playing towards the college kids. But yeah, they're toasted subs, and toasted is in quotation marks. Get it, like, high. When you order your sandwich size, I'm on the website right now looking, and like, I don't actually know if the sandwich names have anything to do with weed. I think they might, but I'm not well-versed enough to know. The sandwiches do look incredible. Like, I'm looking at this open-face sandwich right now, and I want it so goddamn bad. It looks so good, but the sizes of the sandwiches that you can order correspond to like weed measurements. So like a 4-inch sub is called a nug. An 8-inch sub is called a pinner, which is not a word that I'm familiar with. Let me Google pinner weed. What is it? A pinner is a small, thinly rolled joint. Okay, good to know. So it's like, I don't know, whatever. A 12-inch sandwich is called a blunt. And it's like, why are we doing this? You know, like, I don't know, like, maybe is this kind of like, and the thing is, like, it's not because I hate weed. Like, obviously, like, you guys know, like, I like weed. Like, I really like smoking weed. You know what I mean? But like, we don't have to be doing all this. Like, I hate it when like people who like weed turn it into their whole thing. Like, all due respect to Seth Rogen, like, the jig is just getting a little old. Like, we get it. You smoke weed. We, like, come on. And I know this is a false equivalency, kind of. I don't even know if it is. Like, the way it's, like, people, like, I don't want to, like, I'm sorry to bring Seth Rogen into this, okay? He's just the only person I can think of. Seth Rogen's, like, whole brand is that he smokes weed and is just, like, high all the time. If someone's whole brand was drinking alcohol and being drunk all the time, people would say, like, you have a problem and, like, you need to, like, fix that problem. And I know that, like, weed isn't damaging or addictive or whatever, blah, 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 in the same way that alcohol is. But, like, I don't know. Like, I think we need to examine, like, I think we need to re-stigmatize weed a little bit. You know what I mean? We've normalized it too much. I do not need to go to a sandwich restaurant and have to order a blunt when I just want a sub. Okay, next note. April 1st from 5:31 p.m. You can't speed run emotional intimacy. Strong-arming making friends by going to meetups instead of slowly planting seeds and seeing where it goes. Okay, I actually do, this could be a whole podcast episode, but I'm going to try to distill it right now. There's a phenomenon right now, if you live in a city, if you are in your 20s, if you, like, there is an entire industry of meetups and events and parties that are completely centered around making friends. There's, like, I see on reels, like, all the time, like, these advertisements for these walking groups that are, like, if you live in wherever and you love to walk, like, come walk with us, like, you'll leave with over 150 besties. And it's like, that's actually not how that works. Like, and this really ties into this, like, loneliness epidemic that we're having right now. Like, I consider myself someone who has, like, a rich social network and a rich social life and, like, friends that I really deeply care about and am entwined with. But I know that a lot of people don't have that. Like, I know it's a very real thing that people move to a new city or they graduate college or they just find themselves in a situation like post-grad where they just don't have any friends as an adult. And, like, I really empathize with that. Like, I think my life would be so much worse without my friends. Like, they make life worth living. You know what I mean? Like, not to be dramatic or anything, but and so in response to this, like, no one has friends, like, we're all adults, we're trying to make friends, we reached a point of that where people then started to realize that they could capitalize on throwing events centered around making friends, or not even capitalize on, because, like, a walking group, for example, is free. Like, that is not something that's making the person money. But I mean, I see all the time, like, I got an email the other day, I got put on some mailing list, for something. It's probably because I've bought tickets to, like, one of those Taylor Swift, like, dance parties before. But I got an email from this company that was doing a Swiftie cruise, which, first of all, like, a cruise, you couldn't pay me enough money to put me on a boat for an extended period of time. Like, I'm just not doing it. I'm not going. It's not for me. Also, the issue I think that email is what spurred this note on my phone. Because the way it was, like, kind of positioned was, oh, like, come on this cruise, like, you will, like, you'll meet all these new friends and, like, you'll never be friendless again. Like, I don't know, like, it was very much like, come on this cruise, like, you all like Taylor Swift, like, you're all gonna be friends. And, like, I hate to say it, but, like, you need to have more, like, you need to have more in common than just liking Taylor Swift to be actual friends with somebody. Like, everyone likes Taylor Swift, you know, like, we're not all compatible as friends. And I think we're in a really interesting spot right now. A lot of people are with, like, thinking that they can, like, for lack of a better term, like, speed run emotional intimacy. And emotional intimacy to me is something that is built over time. And inherently, that is what makes something intimate. Like, I have such intimate emotional relationships with my friends. And that's because I've known them for years and we've shared so much about ourselves with each other and we've experienced things together. And, like, that's how you build that strong bond and that trust. Like, to me personally, I've been in a few uncomfortable situations in my life where, like, people, and maybe this is just, like, a difference, like, an incompatibility when it comes to friendship styles, because that's also true. Like, not everyone is meant to be friends with everyone. Like, not everyone is compatible, and that's fine. It's not a failing. It's not like you didn't work hard enough or you didn't try hard enough to make it work. Like, some people just aren't compatible as friends, and, like, that's fine. Like, that's fine. Like, you're not gonna marry every person that you go on a date with. You're not gonna be lifelong besties with every person you meet once as a friend. You know what I mean? But what I was kind of saying is I've been put off at times when I kind of, like, meet someone in passing and, like, maybe we have a little bit in common, like, maybe we hit it off at a real life event or something like that, or, like, you know, like, somewhere in the real world, like, we hit it off, whatever, in the moment. And then they start really, and I don't want this to sound, I'm not saying this to be mean, like, I'm just kind of saying this, like, if anything, this is, like, this is me coming to you with a vulnerability, like, something that I don't really like to admit because I do feel, like, not great about it, you know? But I'm sometimes like overwhelmed and put off when people that I've only met once before, or like maybe very briefly, or maybe we've had some kind of like social media correspondence, when they'll kind of like go all in and just start like dumping all of their lore on me, or like texting me like, you know, excessive stuff about their life. And I'm just kind of like, I don't know, like, I don't know you like that. You know what I mean? Like, because I know where that's coming from. You know what I mean? And I know in my past, like definitely when I was in like high school or even like, you know, whatever, like I did this too. Like, we think as humans that if we just like tell everyone something about ourselves, or like tell them every move that we make or everything about our life or relationship or whatever, like that will like suffice as emotional intimacy, when like that's not the case. Like, you can't, I at least in my opinion am absolutely unable to form meaningful friendships with someone in under at least a couple months. You know what I mean? Like, I have friends where I'm like, yeah, like the day that I saw you, like we got along really well, and like I knew I wanted to be your friend, but it's never been a situation where like I met someone on day one and we were already at the level of friendship that we're at now, like 3 years in or whatever. Like, you can't, I feel like some people maybe think that, yeah, like just telling someone everything about them and kind of like oversharing in a way is an appropriate stand-in for like planting seeds, like consistent hangs, consistent meetups. Like, you can't just meet someone and then expect the two of you to like be completely intertwined like people who have been friends for years. And I think that's kind of where some of us are losing the plot, is like, you can't go to a walking group with the intention of meeting friends and leave with actual real friends. Like, maybe you have the packet of seeds in your pocket, you know, but like when you go home, you have to water, you have to take care of those seeds, you have to plant them, you have to water them, you have to prune them. Like, it's not just like, oh cool, like I have this friend, like now they're my friend and I can treat them in a way that doesn't really match up with our true level of intimacy in reality. And like, I know some people are like weird about the word intimacy, okay? It's like emotional intimacy. Like, I am like, I consider myself to be like really intimate with my friends. Like, we have a lot of emotional intimacy. Like, all of you freaking perverts and weirdos, like intimacy is like not just a word to describe sex, okay? So like, yes, intimacy, I mean it. I'm saying it with my chest. Like, you can't just like that is something you have to build and cultivate very carefully and with a lot of intention. And you can't just like show up on a Swifty cruise for a couple of days and then leave and expect all of those people to be meaningful friends in your life. Like, you have to nurture that. Does that make sense? Did any of that make sense? I don't know. That's my truth though, and I'm standing in it, bitch. This is another banger. This is from March 31st at 7:55 p.m. Sometimes the wanting is more fun than the having. Line break. Sometimes the wondering is more fun than the knowing. And this thought, funny enough, came out of me watching Catfish. I love Catfish. I have been, for some reason, absolutely fucking addicted to watching MTV's Catfish the past couple weeks. And I was really into it like a couple years ago too. Like, I watched like the first few seasons, but I haven't seen like, maybe like, I started back with like the end of season 5, and now I'm trying to catch up because I hadn't watched the whole series. But I mean, like, that show, talk about a really interesting catfishing. Like, that is such an interesting psychological phenomenon. These people that are clearly being catfished, like they are talking to someone who is so obviously not who they say they are. Like, these people will write in, right? They'll email the show, whatever. They'll tell them their whole story. I've been talking to this guy for 5 years. We talk on the phone all the time. We message all the time. I love him so much. He's the love of my life. We've never FaceTimed. I've never met him in real life. Every time we try to meet up, he bails. And it's like, okay, like to me, I'm like, obviously that's a fake person. Like obviously they're hiding something. Neve and Max on the show are like, okay, this is obviously a catfish. Like there's not even a question about if this person is real. But the person who wrote into the show, the person being catfished, like the victim of the catfish, is hanging on so, so much to the possibility of this person being real. Like delusion is one hell of a drug, because these people, like the evidence will be completely stacked against them. Like they, like Neve and Max will come back after their first day or whatever doing their research, and they'll be like, okay, so like we did some research, like we reverse image searched the Facebook pictures, and like they came up tied to a different profile. Like obviously they're fake pictures. This person is using someone else's pictures. You know, we tied the phone number to a different location from where they say they are. Like, we know this is fake. The person, the victim of the catfish will still be like, there's still a part of them that is so real. And they're like, I don't know, like, I'm still just like really hoping it's real. Like, it is so, like, they are hanging onto it so much. And I think where the quote, sometimes the wanting is more fun than the having, like, in that mindset that these catfish people are in, like the idea of like, and obviously something compels them to write into the show. You know, like I think everyone like reaches a boiling point where they're like, I can't do this anymore. I have to find out. But these people who have been talking to these catfishes for like five, like 3, 4, 5, 6, 9 years. Sometimes I think I just watched one the other night that they had been talking for almost a decade. Like, what's keeping them in that relationship is the wanting. Like it's the wanting is so much better than the having, because to have that thing is to not have what you thought it was all along. Does that didn't make any sense, but I think you're catching my drift, because these people don't exist, right? Like almost all of the time on Catfish, it turns out to be a person who was lying about their identity. And so these people, the victims of the catfish, the people who write into the show, like, you know, like they've been conned, like they've been a victim of like deception and lying, which isn't fun at all. What was fun was having this person to text every day, having this person to call every day, like being able to tell this person, oh, I love you so much. You're the love of my life. I want to marry you someday. That is more fun than the reality of actually finding out who they are and actually being in a relationship with them and actually marrying them someday. You catch my drift? Sometimes the wondering is more fun than the knowing. And I think I said this kind of like tongue in cheek to Ty like a couple days ago after I said it, like I asked a question and I was like, and neither of us kind of knew the answer. And I was like, I'll just Google it. And then I'm like, actually, no, like I don't need to Google it. Like sometimes the wondering is just like to live in the wonder, to like live in the unknowing, like from time to time is more fun than actually knowing. Like there's something exciting and sexy about the mystery of it. And I mean, to kind of extrapolate this one a little bit further, like when we're thinking about crushes, like think of all of the people you've ever had crushes on in your life. Like I'm thinking of all the people I've ever had crushes on. There's a point in time where the facade is lifted, you know, like at least for me, like I put this person on a pedestal. Like I'm so obsessed with them. I love them. They're so hot. Like they're so fun. Like at some point that all comes crashing down. Like you realize who they actually are, like something about it, like you get the ick or whatever, you know what I mean? And then it's like, okay, well, this now sucks. Like that, it's a lot of the times when you have a crush on someone, you don't actually want to be with them. Like you don't actually want, you might think you want that, but you don't actually want that. Like, because once you find out who they really are, or like the veil gets lifted a bit and you like get icked out, or you decide that you're not compatible or whatever, like, and the crush kind of dissipates, having the crush was way more fun than having that person as your partner, you know, like it's just sometimes to live in the unknowing, like to live in the kind of in between of like not knowing, not having, like that's good, you know, like that's good for me, like that's good for my soul. I think that's good for all of us. Like, not to get too in the weeds here, but like talking about just like instant gratification, like and the instant gratification epidemic or whatever, like I don't even know what boomers are saying about it at this point, but like, oh, Gen Z is like the instant gratification generation. Like, yeah, we are. I'm also someone who like loves instant gratification, but like more recently I've been more cognizant of like, oh, I like want this thing and I can't have it right now, and like that's okay because like I can want it maybe someday. I think I was talking to Ty about this, but I was talking about it in the context of a house. Like, I was like, sometimes I think like I would really want to like live in a house. Like, I want to be able to paint the walls. I want to be able to like drill into the walls. I want it to be like our house that we can do whatever we want with. And then I think about it a little more and I'm like, I actually don't want to live in a house. Like, that's a lot bigger space, a lot more stuff that we have to clean. When you own a house, you have to keep the yard in order. You have to fix everything that breaks. You can't just call the landlord. You can't just call the handyman. Like, everything is your responsibility. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of work. It's, you know, you have to make sacrifices. Like, we wouldn't be able to live in the location we do now if we had a house. Like, obviously we can't have a house. Like, we're broke. Like, we can't afford a house right now. Like, all the 26-year-olds out there buying houses, like, I need to know what like secret special job you have. It's definitely consulting. I just answered my own question. If there's any people in their mid-20s who own houses, they are definitely in consulting anyway. But like, I love where I live. I love living in the city. I love being walkable. I love having my friends nearby. And if I lived in a house right now, like I would have to live in like a suburban area, like outside of like where I want to be living. And so it's like, it's fun to have that like daydream of like, oh, like if I had a house someday, like what would I want it to be like? I'd want it to be Spanish style. I'd want it to have built-in shelves. I'd want it to have a skylight, da da da. Like, it's fun. It's more fun to like dream about that and like have that pipe dream and like have it in your mind and like have something to daydream about than to actually have the house. You know? I think you get what I'm saying, and I think we can move on. This one is from February 28th at 10:16 p.m. Divorce court for friendship fallouts caused by TikTok story times. And I'm going to kind of add on to that plus Reddit Am I the Asshole posts. Let me explain this to you because I actually think someone needs to make this happen. So we're familiar with like divorce court, right? Or like paternity court, like these TV shows, like these fake court TV shows where people take their interpersonal problems to a judge and they, you know, give them a verdict. I am really fascinated by the inner workings and what goes on behind the scenes and what goes on personally between people who air out their friendship drama online. Let me explain. A couple weeks ago, I guess it was almost a month ago at this point, I made a TikTok responding to this video of this girl talking about why she would never again be friends with someone who makes a different amount of money than her. And the gist of this video got like, it got a fair amount of views on my account. And I think her video got a fair amount of views, like more than mine as well. But it was a small creator. Like, I didn't know who she was. And so I didn't stitch it, but like I screen recorded the video and then like plugged that into my video because I didn't want her to know I was stitching it. Like, I'm not trying to stir the pot like that. You know what I mean? But the gist of her video was that she was positioning the video of like, I'm going to tell you a story about what happened, and it is the reason why I will never be friends with anyone who makes a different amount of money than me. And the story went that she was planning a trip with her friend, and like the details that we got from the story were like pretty vague, but essentially the girl making the original TikTok video booked this Airbnb that was like really out of the friend's price range and didn't ask her beforehand. She just said, I'm getting it, I don't care what she has to say, I'm paying for it, and then went on to kind of like hold that over the friend's head and like basically ended the friendship over the fact that the friend never like made up that money to her in any way, even though she told the friend directly like not to worry about the money. And it was just like the weirdest miscommunication. Like, it's so fucked up to like put that on TikTok in my opinion and be like, and that's why I'll never be friends with poor people anymore. Like, that's just deplorable. Like, why would you do that? And it's really funny because I made this note in my phone on February 28th, so over a month ago, before I even made that initial TikTok video responding to the TikTok video of the girl saying why she wouldn't be friends with poor people anymore. Are you following? Earlier this week, Monday or Tuesday, I get a TikTok message, and the partner of the friend that the original girl was talking about replied to my video talking about what happened from her point of view, because they had all been going on this trip together. The partner, the girlfriend, and then the girl, the video maker, the original video maker. I hope this isn't too confusing. But she made a video and she was basically like, hey, like, I'm the partner of the girl that she was talking about in that video. Like, I want to talk about what happened from my point of view. And like, it wasn't anything too crazy. Essentially what happened was the girl, the original, the OP, like the original TikTok video maker, kind of just like cut off the friendship without any real explanation. And apparently the friend from the video found out from that TikTok video that that is the reason she stopped being friends with her. So the original, the OP didn't even tell the friend why she was distancing herself. Like, she didn't communicate with the friend at all. She got mad as a result of the miscommunication that she caused. And then she got on TikTok however many months later to make a story time and position it as, this is why I can't be friends with people who make less money than me, you know? And like, that is so crazy that I made, the original girl posted the video. I made a video talking about it, kind of giving my two cents of like, this girl's fucked. Like, why is she, like, I get, and like, a lot of people are like, well, it's just the fact that it wasn't reciprocated. I don't care. Like, it's just, it's crazy. You can't tell someone one thing. You can't tell someone, oh, don't worry about the Airbnb, I got it. And then later on be like, well, I don't know why, like, I know I told her not to worry about it, but I didn't actually think she would worry about it. That is an exact quote from the video she made. I made a video responding to it. The partner of the friend she was talking about in the video found my video and made a video about that situation, saying that she had no idea that was why the friendship ended until she saw that original video on TikTok. That is fucked. That is fucked up shit. And we need, like, I am thinking of so many people, like, am I, like, let's take the Reddit, am I the asshole, as kind of an example here, because people air out so much shit on there, and I think that 80% of it is fake, like engagement bait or just like fantasy. But there's some stuff in there that, like, I assume has truth to it, like relationship advice, am I the asshole, like all those subreddits. Like, I do think that probably there's stuff in there that's true. And I'm always so curious about what's the other side of the story here? Like, yeah, I can tell you if I think you're an asshole or not based on the information you've given me in your story. But I am so curious because maybe the friend you're talking about has a completely different point of view. And like, wow, revolutionary idea. There's two sides to every story. Okay, I know. But we have divorce court. We have paternity court. Why can't we have friendship breakup court? it is like a pathological condition, in my opinion, if you are someone who goes online and talks shit about a friendship or relationship and solicits the opinions of random strangers instead of just going to the person that they're having the issue with and talking to them about it. And I know that a lot of Am I the Asshole posts are just like looking for validation and like vindication, and that is totally fine. Like, we all need to be validated and vindicated sometimes. But like, sometimes they are asking for actual advice, and I'm like, why are you, like, go talk to someone in your personal life. Like, go talk to your friend that you're having issues with. Like, why is this on Reddit? Like, why is this on TikTok? It feels so inappropriate. Maybe I'm like, like, this is hitting close to home to me, because like, I would absolutely feel terrible if like I ended a friend, like me and someone stopped being friends or whatever, and like however many months or years down the line, I found out that they had gone online and aired out everything about like our conflict or our relationship or whatever, and like solicited strangers' opinions on it. Like, I would feel really violated if that happened to me, like if I was the friend in that situation. However, on the other side, like I can see why people would be like, I'm at the end of my rope. Like, I don't know. Like, I just need to word vomit this on the internet and just kind of like get it out of my system. Like, I also get that too. But I think that a lot of times people are using their interpersonal problems as engagement bait on the internet. And like, I really hate that. Like, we just need to, like, I beg if any of my friends, if anyone in my life ever has an issue with me, like I am on my hands and knees begging for you to literally just talk to me about it instead of go online and ask other people what they think. Like, I cannot imagine. But yeah, I think we need to have like a Judge Judy. Like, I think like Steve Harvey does like a court show now. Like, I think we need to have something like that for a friendship breakup because they are so messy and like there's so much intertwined. And like, yeah, I just think that's a good show concept. So any producers or anything out there, let me know. I'd love to consult with you on that idea. Hit me up, oliviasobscurapod@gmail.com. This one is from February 11th at 12:04 p.m. Jesus love bombing. I never asked him to die for my sins, ? And this is definitely a conversation I was probably having with Montana or Shannon, maybe both or both separately. I don't know. But like, yeah, dude, like, isn't Jesus giving major love bombing energy? Like, and maybe it's not Jesus himself because like, obviously like present day Christians have completely like bastardized what Jesus was. You know what I mean? And like, I don't know that much about Jesus or church or religion or whatever, but like, it's always crazy when like Christians are like, oh my God, like you can't sin. Like Jesus died for your sins. Like he died for you. And like, you're just going to squander that away. And it's like, okay, no offense. Like I actually never asked him to do that. Like he was kind of being a little dramatic. Like bro's kind of dramatic. Like why? Like, yeah, he died for my sins. But like, I kind of like, first of all, wasn't even alive. And second of all, like, I didn't ask for that. So it's like kind of manipulative for him to do that and then hold it over my head for the rest of my life, you know? That's all I'll say about that one. Here's a real good one from February 4th at 9:00 p.m. Butthole eyes, butthole eyes, butthole eyes. And this is obviously, I'm struggling to think of where I was when I made this note, but it's obviously a play on the realize, realize, realize meme format because I have it spelled butthole eyes, B-U-T-T-H-O-L-E-E-Y-E-S. And then it's butthole eyes, B-U-T-T-H-O-L-I-Z-E. And then butthole lies, B-U-T-T-H-O-L-I-E-S. So I should make t-shirts. Okay, this is from January 22nd, 2024 at 6:19 p.m. And this is a list of fan edits that I have ideas for, but like I lack the time, creative energy, and like software abilities to make them. Like, you know, like a fan edit, like I don't even like when people like splice like scenes from TV shows and movies together, like to a song, like I really need someone, like you have full kind of availability to use these ideas to make fan edits. But I ask that you send them directly to me after you make them. Okay, because I want to see for my own eyes. The first one on here is a Love Quinn from You Season 3 specifically fan edit to Mastermind by Taylor Swift. I think that would slay. So the next one is Joe Goldberg from You, obviously, on Netflix. I want an edit of him killing people, like of him, you know, like feeding the body parts into the meat grinder, chopping them up into pieces. Like I want the like nasty, gross Joe killing people scenes all spliced together into an edit to the song I Did Something Bad. Would that not serve absolute see you next Tuesday? This is a little bit of a throwback. The Stalked by My Doctor, if you are unfamiliar, a Lifetime movie that is Oscar worthy, Tony, like, honestly, EGOT worthy when you really think about it. I did an episode about it. I think it's my second episode. It's called The Doctor Will See You Now. Go listen. Go watch the movie, okay? I want an edit of Sophie from Stalked by My Doctor, who you would know as the girl being stalked by her doctor in the movie. I really want an edit, and I've wanted this for, like, since I've seen this movie, like, this edit popped into my mind, and, like, I need it. It's actually, it's not even, okay, what I'm referring to isn't even Stalked by My Doctor. What I'm referring to is the third movie in the series called A Patient's Revenge. I think it's the third. It's either the second or the third, because there's five of them. But one of them is called Stalked by My Doctor, Patient's Revenge. And, like, basically Sophie comes back to, like, enact revenge on Dr. Beck. And it is that movie. I think that's my favorite movie of all the Stalked by My Doctors. Like, Patient's Revenge is so good. Like, every time I watch it, I'm like, it's, like, so bad but so good. You know what I mean? Every time I watch it, I'm like, oh, like, this is it. Like, this is that girl. Like, I love this. I want a fan edit of Sophie from Stalked by My Doctors, Patient's Revenge, to the song Vigilante Shit. Because, like, she in that movie was on her vigilante shit again. Like, she, I don't want to even spoil it for you because it's so good, but, like, she absolutely gets his ass. Like, Sophie concocts this absolute master plan to get back at Dr. Beck, and it is so elaborate and it is so well executed, and it makes me, it exhilarates me every time I watch this movie, which has been, like, 5 or 6 times, definitely. And Vigilante Shit is just the perfect song for that. Last one on this list is an edit of Cassie from Promising Young Woman. Excellent, excellent movie that I fucked with so heavily. I want an edit of her to the song Get Him Back by Olivia Rodrigo. I wanna get him back. I wanna make a million dollars. I wanna make a million, yeah. I want a cunty ass fan edit of Carey Mulligan in Promising Young Woman to that Olivia Rodrigo song, okay? Can someone please make those for me? I'm on my hands and knees begging. I'm groveling. This next one is from January 10th. It says, how do you pronounce these words is the heading. And the words in the note are vehemently, biopic, and omnipotent or omnipotent. Because these are words that everyone pronounces so differently, and I just, like, think it's a fun litmus test of, like, how do you pronounce these words? Like, do you say vehemently or do you say vehemently? Like, personally, I say vehemently. I don't even know if that's right. Biopic. There is a subset of people in the world that pronounce that word as biopic, which maybe that's, like, technically correct. But in the term, like, contextually, like, a biopic makes more sense because it's, like, a biography picture. It's, like, a movie about someone's life. Like, it's a biography picture. It's a biopic. It's not a biopic. Anyway, omnipotent versus omnipotent. I don't say this word a lot. Like, I actually never, like, it's not a word that I say in my day-to-day life, but I think if I was going to say it, like, I would probably say omnipotent versus omnipotent, but I think that I like omnipotent better. Like, it's a fun word to say. Okay, this one feels like a little bit of a time capsule note. It's from September 27th of last year at 7:55 p.m., titled Certified Jump Scares. And the first one is finding out someone you know likes Morgan Wallen. And I know exactly when I wrote this because it was someone that I know, like, a friend that I, you know, like, you know, an acquaintance, posted from a Morgan Wallen concert. And I was like, oh, dude, like, I didn't know you fucked with Morgan Wallen like that. Like, I don't know. Like, I know. I don't know. I fucking hate Morgan Wallen, but you go off, I guess. People who talk about seed oils are always a jump scare to me, because that's kind of, like, maybe the one thing that someone will drop that, like, lets you know that they're, like, a cuckoo conspiracy QAnon head. Like, if you hear someone talking about how they avoid seed oils and, like, don't eat seed oils, like, they're definitely probably also anti-Semitic. And I can't really connect those dots for you right now, but, like, I know in my heart of hearts that it's true. Someone saying that they listen to the Armchair Expert podcast. Again, I just don't trust you. I don't trust your taste. Like, I didn't know that people were actually listening to the Dax Shepard, what's it called? Fucking Armchair Expert podcast. Like, I guess I just kind of thought that, like, It is always kind of surprising when people listen to like a big celebrity podcast, like, because I don't, and I never have. Like, I value, like, I like podcasts because I like independent creators, and like, I like voices that like aren't heard in the like traditional media. It's just kind of like, I don't know, like, why would I ever listen to like Dax Shepard's podcast, you know? Or like, why would I listen to like Tori Spelling's podcast? Like, I just kind of don't give a fuck. Apparently the Tori Spelling podcast is juicy though. I was listening to Troy from Beyond the Blinds talk about it on the Pop Culture Kiki episode, and I was like, honestly, maybe I listen to it. Like, apparently she calls her husband on air and tells him that she's filing for divorce, and like, it's all on the podcast. Like, it's filmed and recorded, so that sounds messy and I might be into it. But yeah, like, especially the armchair expert, like, fuck Dax Shepard. I don't even know what it, like, you know how some people are just like, I don't know what it is about her, I just don't like her. That's how I feel about Dax Shepard. I don't know what it is about him. I don't like him. I actually do know what it is about him. I think he's an asshole. The last one on the list is any event that starts after 9 p.m. I stand by this. When I get invited somewhere and the doors are at 9, it starts at 9, it's just not going to be in the cards for me. Like, I'll rally if it's something, if it's a birthday, if it's a big deal. Like, if it's something that I want to go to and need to go to, I will. But, like, in general, I'm not trying to turn up at 9 o'clock. Like, I want to be cozy on my couch watching MTV's Catfish at 9 o'clock. I don't want to be at an event. Like, why? We need to do more concerts and events that start at 6:30. And you're out of there by 9. Am I right, ladies? Okay, I think this is going to be the one that I end on because I've been recording this for a hot minute. But this is from August 28th of last year at 9:40 p.m. I'm really cooking in those like 9, 10 o'clock hours in the notes app, okay? This is an entire analysis, or no, it's the beginning of an analysis of the parallels between Taylor Swift's illicit affairs and episode 10 from season 8 of Degrassi, Next Generation. And hear me out. In this episode, and I've only seen this episode once, so I'm going completely off of memory here and what I have written down. There is this guy in Degrassi named Riley, and he's on, I believe, the football or basketball team. He's like a jock, like a dude, but he's secretly gay. And he like isn't out to anybody because he's like, has a bunch of internalized homophobia and his parents are mad homophobic, but he's chatting on like these gay message boards, like with other gay boys. And so in this episode specifically, he is meeting up with this guy that he's been talking to on this like chat site. It says, my first bullet point here is Riley meeting up with Soccer Stud in the woods for a hookup. Soccer Stud was the screen name of the guy he was meeting up with. And this isn't even, I don't even know, like, I don't know if this has any merit to it now, but I kind of feel like maybe I should return to this. There is this entire scene where Riley is running through the woods, like through a heavily wooded, densely wooded area, with his hood up over his head, over his eyes, running to meet up with this guy, to hook up with him in the woods. And like, if that ain't make sure nobody sees you leave, hood over your head, keep your eyes down as fuck, like, I don't know what is. And like, the wood imagery of folklore combined with like the wood imagery of the Degrassi episode, like, there was such an intense parallel there that like, clearly I was moved to write it down. But yeah, I don't know, like, I guess my, when I watched the episode for the first time, like, I turned to Ty and I was like, dude, like, you could have told me that Taylor Swift saw this episode of Degrassi and wrote Illicit Affairs based on this story and I would believe you. Like, she does, like, she's written stories about like other fictional, you know, with fictional source material. Like, she's written songs based on like stuff from Mad Men or like whatever. Like, it wouldn't be too far out of the realm of possibility. And if like someday she came out and said, like, in a different universe, because imagine if this happened, this would be so crazy. But like, put on our imagination caps, right? If Taylor Swift one day got on fucking TikTok or whatever, Instagram Reels. I miss when Taylor Swift used to make TikToks, like regular TikToks. I missed her TikTok era. She used to be fun. What happened? Where's Taylor Swift? I know she's on a break right now. But I want her back on TikTok. Come on, like, she's not doing any promo for the Tortured Poets Society. Like, I freaking loved when she did like that bingo ball thing for Midnight's Mayhem with me. Like that was so fun. Like it got me so excited for the album. And like, I don't know, like what is she even doing right now? What is she, like, where is she? Like, girl, post a TikTok, come on. But if someday Taylor Swift did come out and say, you guys are never gonna believe this, but I actually wrote Illicit Affairs based on Riley from season 8 of Degrassi, I would say, yes, I believe you. Yes, you did. That is completely believable. Okay, I think I'm gonna leave it at that. I obviously have so many more notes to go through, so let me know if you would like to see a part 2 to this episode, because I'd be more than happy to do it, obviously. By the way, if you're a Spotify listener, when you're listening to an episode, on the episode page, there's like this little box that says, what did you think of this episode? And when you respond to that box, like what's really cool is that I get an email with your response. And like, I didn't know this until Ty did it the other day, like as a joke. And I was like, wait, what is this? And it was him replying to that question box. And then I was able to publish it to the episode. And so like, I don't know, like if you have anything that you like want to say or add on or an addendum to the podcast, like please make your voice heard. Like put it in that question box on the Spotify episode page. And like, and if it's something that like is a good add-on to the podcast, like I would love to publish it to the episode page, because like, what is this if not a delightful community of people with good thoughts? You know what I mean? But yeah, if you're a Spotify listener, I would love it if you gave me a little 5-star review. All you have to do is tap. It would mean a lot to me. I think I have 11 reviews right now, and I would really like to get to like 15 maybe by the end of April. I don't know. Maybe we'll see. I'm just dreaming big, you know. On Apple Podcasts, if you're an Apple Podcast listener, I would extra love it if you wanted to write me a review. Like I love hearing. What's really interesting is that like when I post on TikTok or like Instagram or whatever, like there's such an easy way to get people's immediate feedback. Like there's immediately conversations happening in the comments or in replies to my Instagram stories. But podcasting, I just kind of like talk and then I just like post it online and like people listen. Like I see my analytics. I see people listening. I see the downloads coming in, but like I don't get feedback the way that I do on other social platforms. So like if you do have something to say like ever, I cannot stress enough how badly I want to hear it. Like send me a Spotify comment, like message me on Instagram, like send me an email, like I don't care, like I'm trying to blab, okay girl? So send me a freaking message. Anyway, yeah, that's it. I guess I'll see you guys next Monday. And I hope you have a good rest of your week, okay? Mwah, mwah, mwah. I love you. Bye.